Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verse 6 says, a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and he will be our ruler, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. Merry Christmas, everyone. Yeah. You know, today we celebrate the Lord has come. Joy to the world. Because of Jesus Christ, and we've been saying that through this series, because of Jesus, peace is possible. Peace is possible. We talked about the angel appearing to Mary and Joseph and announcing that a Savior was to be born. And today, we're looking at that defining moment in history, the birth of our Savior and our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, this moment is ushered in with the arrival of an angel, the birth of the Savior that the prophets had pointed to for thousands of years. An angel appears to shepherds and uses that familiar phrase that we've seen many times, fear not. You know, the angel shares the good news that a Savior's born. And so the shepherds are just kind of blown away. You know, fear not. Many people, I think, have fears. I think many have fears about where they stand with God. And for those of us that have bowed a knee to Jesus Christ and made him Lord and Savior, today's extra special because we celebrate. I mean, that's why we celebrate Christmas, is because Jesus came. Jesus came to this world. He lived that perfect life, died on a cross for our sins, rose from the grave. And so Christmas is really about celebrating that birth. Now, some of you may be in that season where you're kind of wrestling with fear. You know, where do I stand with God? And I believe that the answer to that question really determines whether you live life with a lot of peace or not. You know, when Jesus is your personal Savior and Lord, I believe it's possible to find peace. And I can't speak for everyone here, but I remember growing up as a kid, and I had that fear that I wasn't good enough. And then to make matters worse, my parents taught me a prayer. Maybe some of your parents taught you the same prayer. And the prayer starts out okay. Now I lay me down to sleep. How many of you, your parents teach you this one? All right. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And everything was fine and good. And I know we got kids in here, so just cover the kids' ears up for a minute. Because the next part, this is where it kind of took a turn. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. And I'll be honest with you, that part freaked me out as a kid. I mean, it was kind of strange because we'd have this prayer and then my mom would give me a kiss and a hug and then she'd tuck me in and then she'd turn off the lights and go, good night, Damon, sweet dreams, don't let the bed bugs bite. And I just want to say thanks, Mom. I would be lying to you, but I would lay there. I look like I'd been electrocuted. You know, just in my mind, it's racing at that point. You know, I don't want to die. I want to go to heaven. I mean, I had heard enough about heaven and hell that I knew that I didn't want to go one place and that I wanted to go to heaven. I mean, and so I can remember just praying. You know, God, I want heaven. God, I want everything right between us. And then I would finally fall asleep. And that was on my mind. I remember waking up the next morning and going, phew, made it through the night, you know. But in all honesty, there was that lingering fear. Now, parents, much better prayer. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray to the Lord my soul to keep. Angels watch me through the night and wake me with the morning light. So that's a prayer, if you want to pray with your kids, it'll get you a lot further. But as I got older, I think I carried that fear a long time. You know, where do I stand with God? And it just kind of was always in my head. And I started trying to do things, you know, to kind of build up an account with God, because I wanted to measure up. I really thought that if I did enough stuff, that I'd get right with God. And it all had to do with that fear that I carried. You know, where do I stand? Where do I stand with God? You know, today we're looking at another angel story, another fear not story. And this is the popular portion of the Christmas story. In fact, I believe it'll speak to some of you in maybe a life-changing way today. But it speaks to that issue of where do you stand with God? Scripture says this, Luke records, he says, and there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. So I want you to picture, you got shepherds, they're out in the field, it's nighttime, and boom, all of a sudden, angels appear, and I'm thinking, well, I get it, you know, it's dark, and then an angel appears, and so they're terrified, they're scared. It says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you what? Good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. I love that part. To you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Today, I bring you good news. Don't be afraid. Fear not. A Savior has been born to you. It's very personal at that point. This is the first recorded declaration that Jesus was born. You know, in that day, it had been very common for a family when they gave birth to a new child, if they had any financial means at all, they would hire a herald. They'd hire someone to go through the countryside and announce the good news, announce the birth of their child. And so that's exactly what God does. But God goes big. I mean, he enlists some serious messengers. Angels announce the good news that Jesus had been born, that the Savior had been born. And what I find really interesting in this, is as you read the story, is who God sent the angels too. I mean, I want you to think about it for a moment. If the Son of God is going to be born to this earth, who do you announce that to? Now, from a human perspective, just thinking about it logically, analytically, it would seem that God would announce it to, you know, royalty, to kings and queens and presidents. Then maybe you would announce it to political leaders or business leaders, proclaim it to the spiritual leaders, you know, the priests, the scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. That makes sense, doesn't it? But God sends angels to announce it to some shepherds. I think this detail is missed by most of us because we're used to hearing the story. We're familiar with having shepherds in our nativities. And so for us, I think shepherds fit in. It's how we know the story. But what we miss is shepherds were disrespected in their day. They were demeaned. Shepherds were belittled in that society. Their job was so low that if somebody had to have a family member do it, they would pick the least in the family. They'd pick the youngest son to do that. And more often than not, shepherds were slaves. They were normally uneducated. They had very little means of advancement. Shepherds were outcasts. And not only were the shepherds separated from society, they were separated from God. I mean, why did they feel separated? Well, first of all, shepherds felt distant from God because they felt unworthy. According to the religious system of the day, shepherds were rejected, and they were looked upon as not good enough for God. And so shepherds, they were kind of nomadic. Their job required a lot of travel, so they would wander around for sometimes weeks, months at a time. And so they not only ended up isolated from the community, but when they would come back to their town, they were declared unclean. So they were really outcasts. I mean, you think about it, the video earlier, you hang out with shepherds, they probably smelled. There were no truck stops back then, you know, where they could go in and shower up at the facilities. Religious people avoided them. They didn't even want to make contact with them. If you touched a shepherd, you were considered unclean then. It's a little bit like, do you remember playing the game Cooties? Yeah, not a cool game, by the way. But, you'd play that as a kid, and so someone had like imaginary germs. And so if you touched them or they touched you, you were infected. And so everybody kind of would treat you like you had cooties too because so-and-so had touched you. Well, this is a grown-up version of the same game. Be in the marketplace, someone go, "Oh, shepherds, watch out. If they touch you, you're going to get cooties too." And so the tough part about this was it wasn't a game. It was life. Can you imagine living that way? Can you imagine how the shepherds felt? I mean, shepherds were considered unclean, which meant they couldn't go to temple. They could not offer a sacrifice. They could not do anything to get right with God, according to the religious system. It was kind of a catch-22. Because they're unclean, they can't gain entrance to the temple so that they can become spiritually clean. So it's really no wonder that these shepherds lived in fear about where they stood with God. And I think, you know, many times we feel like that. You know, we come to church and we know who we are. And we know what we've done. Oh, sure, we put on our smiley face, church face. We pretend, I'm good. But inside, yeah, we know. We know the things that we should have done that we didn't do. And we know the stuff that we did that we shouldn't have done. But we act like we're okay, don't we? But in our heart, truth known, I think we wonder sometimes, you know, how could God love someone like me? And you know, it's easy to look around. In fact, look around you this morning. I mean, it's easy to look around. You go, "Oh, they look really Christmassy. And, you know, they look like they got stuff together and pretty holy." We use different words. And inside, it makes you feel a little bit unworthy. In fact, some of you are thinking, "I almost killed my kids on the way to church this morning." Right? Knock it off back there. You know, stay on your side of the car. Do not look at your brother. Quit it. You know, brush your hair. Shut up. We're going to worship Jesus today. Praise God. You know, it's like, Merry Christmas. And then you walk through the doors and you thought, "Man, I messed up." You know, and you feel unworthy. We all have those moments. We feel distant from God. We feel distant from each other. The shepherds, they live like that all the time. They felt distant because they were unworthy. They felt distant because they felt inadequate. You know, most of the time, I said they had very little formal education. So when they would be in the public arena, they felt like they didn't measure up. You know, it's a little bit like, have you ever had a friend invite you to like a literary event or an art event or something that everybody's in the know but you? Have you ever had that experience? You know, everybody's well-read. You know, everybody knows about every piece of literature. They know the history of the artist or the author or whatever. And you feel like everybody around you's got like a PhD. And you just feel inadequate. Well, friends, we feel inadequate when we start comparing. And it's even worse when you start comparing yourself spiritually to others. The shepherds, they compare themselves to other people. They felt inadequate because of that. They couldn't even keep the big rules of the day. You know, keep the Sabbath holy. You know, we talked about that in the Ten Commandments when we were going through it just a few weeks ago. They couldn't even have a day where they rested and they did the spiritual connection because shepherds, that wasn't possible. Their job was a 24/7. You know, they cared for the sheep. They protected the sheep. They couldn't put a sign up and say, "Lion, stay out today," observing the Sabbath. And so these guys felt like constant failures. And society reminded them all the time. And I think, you know, sometimes we feel like that. You know, we look around and everybody seems so close to God. You know, you see someone and you think, oh, they know so much about the Bible, or they have a Bible verse for every occasion. Everything that comes up, they're just quoting, you know, they're able to quote the book and the chapter and the verse. And you're listening to them going, I didn't even know that book was in the Bible, you know. You've listened to them pray. And they know the right words. They pray with power. And you're thinking, you know, the last time I prayed, I just prayed that I wouldn't kill the person that took my parking spot. You know, it's like, you know what I mean? You have that sense. You feel spiritually inferior for some reason. That's how the shepherds lived. You know, and not only that, they felt unloved in their society. In that day, many times, shepherds were thieves. And the fact is, even if they were honest, they were still considered a thief. They were stereotyped in that society. So even though they're honest, people said, there's a thief, there's a thief. In fact, shepherds were so distrusted, they were not allowed to give testimony in a court case because they were liars. And so most shepherds were single. Main reason no father would allow their daughter to marry someone like that. They were low. They were considered filthy. They were considered uneducated and unworthy. They had no hope of a future. And I think they felt unloved. And I know we all have those moments. I mean, I know some of you grew up in homes and mom or dad just checked out on you. And inside you go, what's wrong with me? Some of you maybe dealt with abuse in your life. And looking back, you wonder if anybody even cared. You know, and so that lack of love, it makes it hard for you to love others, to love yourself. You know, inside, it just kind of echoes that, you know, what's wrong with me? Some of you, this may be the first Christmas that you're by yourself. You know, your spouse left you for someone else, walked out. And you think, what did I do? I mean, I tried to do my very best and it wasn't enough. And inside, you feel rejected, you feel alone, you feel unloved. We all have those moments, you know. You look in the mirror and you think, I don't like who's looking back at me. And if I don't love myself, I mean, how could God love me? Friends, there is a big difference between perception and reality in life. You know, when you look around, I mean, you look around you, sometimes you think, wow, they've got it all together. You know, wow, he's more successful than me. You know, that family's perfect. You know, I am such a screw up in my life. If people really knew who I was, if they really knew, they'd be appalled. But friends, I want to tell you, you have no idea who you're sitting next to today. You have no idea what people are dealing with in their lives. I mean, you may be sitting next to a single mom that's just ready to cash it in because she feels so inadequate. You know, you may be near a guy that it took every bit of strength that they could muster to be here in worship today because inside, they feel like a complete failure. I mean, you may be sitting next to someone that's single and all their friends are getting married, and then in their mind they're going, what about me? What about me? I mean, you may be sitting next to somebody that feels forgotten this morning. You know, they're a Christian and they're serving and they're trying to make a difference in the world, but inside they're like, what's wrong with me? The shepherds, they felt unworthy. They felt inadequate. They felt unloved. That was their perception. Religion reminded them of this regularly, and religion couldn't help them. In fact, it made them feel more distant from God. Religion did not work for them. And friends, I want to tell you, it doesn't work for us either. And I know you may be going, wait a minute, you're a pastor. This does not sound right, what you're talking about. Friends, God did not send Jesus Christ to bring religion to the world. God sent Jesus Christ to set us free from religion. God sent Jesus Christ to give us something that was much better. See, the problem with religion, it reduced Christianity down to do's and don'ts in life. If I do the right thing, I feel better about myself. If I do the wrong thing, I feel bad about myself. If I do the right thing and you do the wrong thing, I feel really good and I can look down on you. Because I obeyed the rules and you didn't. And Jesus didn't condone that. In fact, he said it makes him sick. I mean, he told the Pharisees on more than one occasion, he said, you're so focused on the outside stuff. I mean, it looks pretty, it looks clean. But you miss the point because the inside's just filthy. See, religion didn't work for the shepherds, and it doesn't work for us because Christianity was never meant to be about religion. It was meant to be about a relationship with God. And that's why God sent his son, Jesus. It was good news, great news, a savior. The Messiah is born. I mean, what's it mean to us? Well, I think the Apostle Paul gives one of the clearest explanations. And you need to remember, Paul, before he was a Christian, he hated Christians. He persecuted them. He killed them. He led the charge against Christianity. And then the love of God just transformed him and changed him. He became one of the greatest voices representative of Christ. He says, for no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. The law shows us we're sinners. The law makes it very, very clear. We've all sinned, every one of us. But God changed things. He says, but now God has shown us a way to be made right with him. Here's the good news. To be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. As he promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. You know, Moses, the prophets, they promised that there was a Messiah coming to make us right. Not by observing the law, but we're made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. Good news. Great news. I mean, why is it good news? Well, one, we don't earn acceptance to God by obeying the law. For the shepherds, this was the most amazing news. They lived in a society, the Pharisees had 613 laws, and you needed to obey them all. Shepherds, even if they were trying, they ended up failing miserably because they couldn't get access. Jesus comes along, he says, wow, that's a lot of laws. And he narrows it down to the Ten Commandments. In fact, he narrows it down to two. Love God, love people. See, law, the purpose of the law was to show us that we're sinners. Show us that we need a Savior. You know, one of the fundamental flaws in our society today is people believe they're good. In fact, I won't do it, but if I said, how many of you are good, most hands would go up in here. You know, I'm generally a good person. I know some bad people, but I'm not one of them. And that may be true if you compare yourself to other people. But when you compare yourself to God's standard, we all fall short. We all fall short. And since it's Christmas, what I want to do, I want to make you feel good about how bad you are. All right, so play along. How many of you have ever told a lie? Come on. All right, if someone doesn't have their hand up, just turn to them and go, liar, liar, pants on fire. Yeah. How many of you have ever stolen something? Go on. All right, do not raise your hand on this one because I do not want to be responsible for fights after service. But how many of you have ever lusted before? I mean, Jesus said, if you lust, you've committed adultery. That's how Jesus said it. So, okay, if you've lied, what are you? A liar. If you've stolen something, what are you? All right? And if you've ever lusted, you're an adulterer. Those are Jesus' words. So basically, we are all lying, thieving, adulterers. Merry Christmas. I know, you may be going, why is he doing this? But I don't want you to miss this. Until you see that you're a sinner, you do not need a Savior. And when you compare yourself to God's standard, you recognize that you need God's grace. Religion can't save you, friends. Salvation's only possible through Jesus Christ. Jesus came to this world and was in the manger so that we could have a relationship with God. And that's what we celebrate today. The law shows us our need for a Savior. Salvation's only possible through Jesus Christ. It's not Jesus plus religion. It's not Jesus plus membership in the church. It's not Jesus plus doing a lot of good things. It's salvation through Jesus Christ alone, period. Faith, putting your faith in Him. The angels appear to the shepherds, people that religion had rejected, had pushed out. And we're going to read this again. But the angels said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior's been born to you. And he's the Messiah of the Lord. Friends, it is not a mistake that the angels appear to a bunch of shepherds who knew they were ruled out by religion. They were the first ones to hear the good news. These shepherds that felt unworthy and they felt inadequate and they felt unloved. They felt so far from God, they weren't even sure if God noticed them. These shepherds are the first ones to hear it. A Savior's been born to you. And I am sure these guys were overwhelmed. I mean, I can almost imagine, did you hear that? Did you hear what the angel said? It says a Savior's been born. A relationship with God, it's possible, salvation for us. And I think God knew that they would struggle in that moment. And the angel says, this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in the manger. God gave them a sign because I think God wanted them to know that this was absolutely true. And it was theirs today, that day. It says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to whom he has found favor. Jesus was born. Heaven celebrated. Salvation had come. Jesus was born, and all of a sudden, peace was possible. And Scripture says, if you read on in the story, that the shepherds hurried. I mean, they ran, probably with everything in them. They raced to Bethlehem. They raced to find that baby that was wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. And friends, when they saw that child, I believe that was the first time they experienced real peace in their lives. And I know some today, maybe you feel unworthy, maybe you feel inadequate, maybe you feel unloved, but I want to tell you, a Savior has been born to you. And he's the Messiah and he's the Lord. Salvation has come. And it was exciting news to the shepherds. And friends, it's exciting news today. And that's what we celebrate. Let's stand for a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we stand in amazement. And God, I thank you that you sent your Son to this world. And that moment changed everything. And God, this morning we remember that. And we celebrate that. God, we just lift our voices in praise. God, we just praise you. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. Prepare for communion. Let's worship together and sing, Jesus, Light of the World.